welcome back to another episode of DASCO Up for Discussion, where the energy is high, and today the scenery has officially changed. That's right, folks. We've taken over my office at the DASCO office, and let me tell you, the lighting is all not all that flattering, so we might need to wrap this up and leave. Now, you've noticed that I have someone special here with me today, and that suspiciously is missing our other fearless leader, Kathy. She claims she's very busy, but we think she just didn't want to race Leslie, who I'll introduce in a minute, in the 5K. Speaking of which, today's episode is all about the Down Syndrome Festival and 5K. And we've got none other than the Queen of Community Chaos, in the best way, of course, DASCO's very own Leslie Boswell in to talk about the fun, the festivities, and maybe even some behind-the-scenes scoop. Many of you might not know, but Leslie co-chaired the walk for several years, and then she and I did it together for 6 years before I became the executive director. So there's a lot of history that we're going to touch on today. So grab your sneakers, stretch those hamstrings, and get ready for some laughs and insider info. So let's dive in and let's get down to the basics, Leslie.
How are
you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you.
Good. Thanks
for inviting me.
And we wore our shirts today. She's got Drew's Cruise on, and I've got my Kirsten's Kisses. So let's just talk about a little bit about how your first walk was, because it's evolved. The very first walk, I believe, started in 1994 at Will Rogers Park with picnic blankets. It was just a gathering, like, let's just all get together. And then since it evolved to when you did your first walk in what year?
2004. So Drew was born in July of 2004, and we got all the information. We had a little family visit. And I will never forget, Juanita Killingsworth said, "Now we have this wonderful fundraiser called the Buddy Walk at the time."
Yeah.
And she said, "But it's in September, and I know you've just had your baby, so don't feel like you need to be there. I just want to inform you." There's a little sheet of information about it, and it's a fundraiser, but, you know, maybe next year. And I looked at my husband, and I was like, "We're going to do this.
We're going.
We're going." Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we went to Remington Park. It's 98 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
We were going to pass out. You walked around the dirt track.
I heard somebody the other day say that it was hard to push those strollers.
Oh, we had a stroller, and I mean, I think we had a wagon, and of course, Darby was four at the time, and I think we pulled her more.
Uh-huh.
Drew slept the whole time. I mean, she was an infant.
Right.
I mean, she was 2 months old, but we got her a little bitty onesie with the little Buddy Walk logo. It was adorable, and I mean, we sent out, you know, at that time, there's no online fundraising.
Right.
So it was a letter. It was a letter campaign. So I typed up a letter, sent it out, you know, it cost a fortune to mail to everybody, and then you put a little return stamp envelope to try to raise money, and that was the beginning for us.
So did you establish Drew's Crew at that time, or did her name evolve later?
Well, I remember making a phone call. I don't remember who I made a phone call to at this time, because I thought the people wear T-shirts, like, it was not a huge event because at the time. And somebody got me in contact with Kim Silkwood, who worked at a T-shirt place. Mm-hmm. And she said, "Oh, she does a Buddy Walk T-shirts." It was just a logo. And she's like, "Yeah, I don't have T-shirts that small, but I got a onesie." And we just kind of did that. And I had her put on the back Drew's Crew. I don't know why we came up with that, because you had family teams, but it wasn't what it became.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we just did hot pink, and I had gray for the boys, and, you know, my family came out. But it was the next year that I was like, okay, family team game on.
Yeah.
And we got our own individualized T-shirts. And I do want to think, and maybe this is just my memory, that we kind of started that.
Oh, good.
Your own shirt. Because everybody came in a Buddy Walk T-shirt. But we changed it, and I think got camo shirts, and we're Drew's Crew. And that family team thing evolved. Because most Buddy Walks, you just wore the standard, you know, you got the T-shirt with your fundraiser, you know.
Yeah.
And everybody was in unison, which is amazing. And it looks really incredible to see, you know, so many people advocating in the same T-shirt. But we kind of started that family team t-shirt
That's
thing.
That's awesome. Yeah. How many people do you think were at that first, that walk that you first went to?
I was trying to think, and I really have no idea. I mean, it was hundreds, you know, wasn't.
The thousands.
It wasn't the thousands, but because there wasn't really even a place to congregate. In shade, I remember that was the problem. You were just direct sun, and it was September, and it was so hot, and pictures of sweaty kids and wet, you know, and you just, you walked and you left. There wasn't games or, you know, just what, no, but it was just, let's get out here and let's walk with our people.
So then I guess if that was in 04, 05, so 2006.
We did 2 years at Remington that we did, and then it had just gotten,
So did you join the committee right after that when we
When it was moved to the ballpark is when I joined the committee.
Okay, so that probably was in 2006.
That would have been 2006.
Yeah, when we moved.
Kirsten was born.
Yeah.
Did you attend the first... You didn't attend the first walk,
She was going to have open heart surgery.
Yes.
So
right about
I think
that
I remember
time.
Telling you, like, we're going to pass this first year. Yeah. And I'm sad that we didn't. But because she would have been, I know, but she would have been fine to go. But again, I was just deer in the headlights and I was not ready to meet people yet. And,
that's what I have found so interesting about this organization is everybody has their different, you know. I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
And, you know, we raised $6,000 something dollars that first year and kind of set a new little precedence for let's raise some money.
But then I think after I saw all of the congregating and all the activities at the ballpark, I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing this next year.
Well, and that's what it went from, you know, little face painting and, you know, maybe clowns with balloons at Remington Park to, okay,
yeah,
let's do this thing. Mm-hmm. And it just became...
That's so awesome. I know. I mean, my first year at the ballpark, you couldn't walk. There were so many people.
Well, that's what was crazy. It's like, oh, let's leave Remington Park because we've outgrown it or we need, you know, more space for all the fun stuff. And then we get to the ballpark and it's like, you think this is a vast space. This is going to be great. And how quickly it was too much. I mean, logistically.
Yeah.
I mean, we did it for... 6-7 years.
So
I can't
remember how many years we did the ballpark. So it started in 2006 there, and we didn't move it until 2018 when I came on board here at the office. My first year, we moved it to the Myriad. So it would have been
there
a good 12-15 years, right? Yeah.
That's crazy. I know. I mean, here we are going to our 22nd walk, so I can't.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're on our 17th, 18th walk this year. But just talking about, you know, because then I saw how much fun it was and just the engagement, and I immediately was drawn and wanted to be involved. And then you and I joined your committee to start planning the walk and just going through. A lot of people don't realize the behind the scenes stuff. Like,
well, at the time we didn't have an executive director.
Nope. It was just parents.
It was just
and things were scattered everywhere.
And we put on, I look back now and I'm like, how do we do that?
I know. We have a closet full just here of festival stuff. So and we've changed a lot.
We had a storage unit. That was always the thing.
Yeah.
Everybody had to go to the storage unit and get all of the supplies, get everything out.
But there were people on the committee, parents, I had never met before and probably would not have ever met had it not been for, you know, engaging myself in that. And then I just remember, you know, getting there so early, and we tried to get all the news stations there and doing those early morning, and I dragged Kirsten with me with her little blanket, and she'd be on the news. It was quite something. I was my first year I was in charge of helping with all the volunteers.
Volunteer coordinator, yes.
Making sure they had their t-shirts and then assigning them all their jobs. And that was a job within itself.
It was.
I mean, I remember having to really carve out time from work to manage that. And I think at the time there was like 200 volunteers that we had. And we have more than that now. But you were kind of the lead on all that. So talk a little bit about the coordination part.
I remember just having so many different contacts just through things I'd done in life and like, okay, you know, you get this vision of, oh, we can have, you know, at the time I had younger kids, and and was like, oh, there could be a toddler area, you know, because people bring their babies, and yet, you know, we're doing pony rides, but babies can't do this. And it's like you start, oh, but then what about the adults? You know, the older teens and adults, there's, you know, they don't want to do these, you know, corny little carnival games that the younger kids loved.
Toddler,
you know, so we were trying to, you know, get parents with different age kids and adults and trying to find, you know, how can we make this inclusive of everyone? Because, yes, it was about, you know, the Down syndrome community, but, you know, even now it's different, you know, having an adult. And she's like, yeah, I think she told me last year, she goes, I think I've outgrown it. Realizing, you know, it is much more focused on, you know, getting the younger kids out and things. And I was like, yeah, but now you're old enough to assist and help and, you know, be an advocate. You can have a different role.
Yeah.
And so it's just been amazing to watch that change, even with her, you know, being the best day of her life when she was a little kid. But, yeah, just trying to get everybody involved in any way we could with the there were carnival games and pony rides, and then you had the snow cones and the balloons, and then we had, I don't remember if we started out doing a silent auction.
I just remember the free peaches.
Oh, the peaches.
Remember the fresh fruit from that we would get from Thomas Brothers?
That's crazy. And those peaches were like the size of a newborn's head.
And they
like
were gone.
Huge. People would wait.
To get the peaches.
Wait for us to bring in those peaches.
Yeah. And
because we couldn't bring food or anything in. But that's so funny because it got too big and we couldn't bring thousands of peaches.
Right.
My gosh, I totally forgot about that.
And then the Oklahoma City Philharmonic brought in their musical instruments.
The little instrument playground.
Yeah.
And that was it, trying to find all the different little vendors and and booths and how many people can we cram under this little pavilion.
I know.
Under this awning, and then getting different, you know, high school volunteer groups and people to come out and run the carnival games and get the prizes and
we
do the face painting.
Carnival games.
And then we brought in, you know, the Disney princesses and the Star Wars characters, and it became the more the merrier. Let's cram them all in, and now
and then we had started adding like resource booths. But really it was,
I feel like that started kind of before, I don't know, that started at about the same time.
Yeah.
Because that was another volunteer that had to be the, you know, kind of community outreach coordinator kind of person, getting, you know, Sooner Success. And I mean, there's a list of, you know, Voc Rehab and all of those different little booths for people to come out.
And this was way before, like, technology, really.
Oh, there was no social media. There was no getting the word out.
And we would have meetings, and I remember we would have to draw out the map by hand. And Bill Lovell was the only one that could draw
Lovell,
that.
The architect of the most.
Shout out to Bill.
Shout out to Bill. I was like, you can never leave this committee. He was my right-hand man.
Yeah.
For that logistical, I mean, it was impressive.
We didn't realize how important the map is. And even today, like, those are kind
of
our Bibles that we have to go off of, those maps. Because otherwise, people don't get in their right spots, and then they kind of get angry about it. So it's evolved, definitely. But when did we start the 5K?
Oh, wow. Because it started out,
I was trying to
run for 2:21. I started that. I remember getting off the committee because I had felt like I had.
And we had an executive director hired.
By that time, we had an executive director hired.
It was like in 2000.
I'm
going to
say 2000. I would say 10 or 11, maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time was running half marathons. Like, I'd become a runner.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I was off the committee. I wasn't. You know, I was coming, but was off the committee because kind of run its course and wanted to obviously let the executive director take that over.
Yeah.
And I was like, what else can we do? You know, I want to come back in. I want to do something. And I was like, let's start a 5K.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this. And it was, the run for T21. And that's what it started out. I mean, I think that was just for 1 year and, you know, worked with a website or a, you know, graphic designer to get a little logo, and I think we might have had 200 people, maybe the first year, And I can't remember if it's the first year or the second year was the year we actually did the walk in October, and it was like 28 degrees.
Oh my gosh, that's still chilly. But and runners like that kind of weather.
Runners absolutely love that kind of weather. But it was, yeah, that started a whole nother aspect of, you know, and I think I saw other walks across the country maybe were doing that, had a 5K.
Yeah.
Aspect to it. So I was like, I mean, why not?
Mm-hmm. Well, and it just really kind of increased our numbers all the way around. We're up to almost 700 runners today. And there's a lot more details involved with the 5K, but
yeah, it's kind of, it was a separate little event mm-hmm. ahead of, but I just kind of felt like we were reaching out to a whole nother, you know, at the time I was a runner, so I was like, oh, these are my running people. We're going to get them going. And yeah, here it is.
I just loved it that people would still run in their shirts, mm-hmm. and then they, you know, had socks that matched, or they would, you know, dress up in tutus or whatever just to make it.
Well, then
it
people
fun.
Started pushing their kids, you know.
Yeah,
they were strollers. Yeah, which, you know, I kind of thought, oh, this is going to be a race.
Yeah.
And then I realized this is just another aspect of mm-hmm. awareness walk, just but another way to raise money, really, was adding that aspect to it.
It also put another awareness level that our kids can participate in 5Ks.
In physical activity,
and that we want to be healthy. Our kids want to be healthy, and we want to maintain that level of activity. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we want to promote that amongst our community, mm-hmm. that the health initiative as well. And I think that's what's fascinating. But just to kind of back up and talk about, so the walk really was an awareness component. It's, mm-hmm. It was for everybody to come out and get the conversation started about Down syndrome, and, you know, for them to see the person for what they are. It's evolved. We have family teams that raise funds for the organization and have since 1994, really, when we started the first walk. And then those family teams have now evolved and grown, and everybody. So it started out as the buddy walk. Still was the buddy walk. Then it turned to, then we added the T21 run as part of the buddy walk. And then we did a whole name change several years ago.
Yeah, there was a whole, was it branding? Mm-hmm. Not branding, I can't remember exactly the reason why.
I think the board and the committee decided that they wanted to just combine it all together.
We wanted our funds, really financially, because I think we were having to pay for rights to use the Buddy Walk name.
Yeah,
and that
was a lot.
It was a lot of money that was going.
A lot of royalty fees.
Yes, a lot of royalty fees. And we were like, we were one of the biggest walks in the country at the time, because I went to Ohio to a conference for the Buddy Walk organization for directors. You know, we didn't have still at that time executive directors, so I went to discuss that. And it was as that change was happening where we were going to have to start paying for the use of the Buddy Walk. And we were huge.
Yeah, because it was based on a percentage.
Run, and you had to base a percentage of what you had to give back mm-hmm. to use, you know, it's like NIL, the name, image, and likeness. And we, got together as a committee and was like, okay, we can do this. I think we can do this on our own and keep our funds local with our families. And that's really, we still make a donation to, you know, the National Down Syndrome Conference. We I believe, still do that.
Yes, we do.
But it wasn't, you know, we didn't have to do the required percentage at the time.
And it's a budgeted amount that you get to, you know, decide upon collectively by the board. But yeah, you're right.
And we switched it at that time to the Down Syndrome Festival and 5K. Yeah.
That's what it still is today.
It still is today. Yeah.
And it really has evolved from just a walk and a run to a huge festival of activities, and, you know, just like you mentioned, inclusive and, you know, fun for all. But you were a top fundraising team for several years. How much money do you think you've raised over the...
I was looking over just yesterday. I pulled out a folder because, once again, none of this was digital at the time. And I have all of these, you know, the letters that I sent out and then these little thank you letters that I did. And it was like...
We need to archive those.
Way to go, Drew's crew. We raised, you know, this amount of money. And I looked and I saw one thank you letter that said, over the last 5 years, we've raised over $44,000 and something. And that was in 5 years.
Yeah.
Because I went through like a... I remember 19. Starting 6,000 and then it was 8,000 and then it was 14,000. And yeah, we just were like, how much money can we raise?
I know. I remember I
remember looking through, seeing that 5 year, you know, we've raised $44,070. And then maybe that's when online might have started happening shortly after that, because I was like, I don't have those records anymore. So I can't, you know. Obviously, after, you know, I think 5, 6, 7, 8 years, it started.
Yeah, but that's still some
backing off a little bit. But then I do remember being a part of the first online fundraising campaign, and I was like, wow. And then social media came about, and I was like, okay.
Oh, this is easy.
This is so easy. Yeah. There is no more checks and deposits and record keeping. It was just all done. I mean, watching that completely shift to making it so much easier for
talk
our families.
Talk a little bit about, because we might have some new family teams out there, so talk a little bit about how you strategically planned out your fundraising team efforts, how that worked for you.
I just felt like I knew so many people, and I thought, you know, give me $20, you know?
Yeah.
And that was always the part that, you know, you didn't have to raise $15,000, right? That $10,000, it was, we have, I can't even, you can tell me now, how many families do we have in our organization?
Oh, 1,100.
1,100.
About 100 of them participate actively in the walk.
Right.
Like, raise funds.
And for everything, I just thought, it just had such a big heart, like, oh my God, for everything this organization does, this is so easy to create a family team, especially now with it being online. Like, all you have to do is
sign up
and blast it on your social media.
Yeah.
And people click and, you know, that's just...
Put a picture of your kid up there.
Put a picture of your kid and say, in a list of, you know, this is what my child participates in, Carly's Kitchen or OT Camp or whatever, you know,
or
all the different list of things.
Come to
you know,
the parent meetings.
Parent meetings or... You know, going to the national conferences and all the workshops that we have. And I thought, all of this that the organization does for us, it's the least we can do to raise these funds for our families.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember kind of going through a phase where family teams were getting incentivized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's all these incentives. And I was like, I cut the incentives. I remember I cut the incentives. I'm like, why? I am not raising money to
get a t-shirt
and a jacket or a car flag or a bumper sticker. Like, I don't want it. And because we were growing so quickly, a lot of people were raising money and we were spending a lot of money on incentives.
Yeah,
and I was like, what can we do to just keep all our money, you know, in the organization? And so, but once it became online, I thought, how easy is it? I mean, I always remember going, I think every family should be required to do this, because if it's $20 a family, I mean, you think of all the families we work with,
right.
And it's not hard to, you know, ask, you know, 20 people for $20, and then here you go with your $400. You know, it can add up so quickly and with such little effort. So.
And we have some tools and things for family teams to, you know, help.
Oh, I've seen that. You've got a great list and different ways to do it, and I do remember knowing, you know, there's a lot of rural communities and a lot of people that don't have so many connections. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of always took it upon myself. Like, I have the ability and the time and the energy, and I'm going to do this for the people that can't do it. And
I remember my little hometown church mentioned it, and I had a collection the next day of funds.
And
well, I was
I've seen,
wow,
I think,
this is awesome.
You know, the Kearns were one of the first people, I think, to do a restaurant night.
Yeah.
Maybe a Hidalgo's. And I was like, okay,
that's great.
You know, you start seeing people get creative with different ways in their communities. That, like, it didn't just have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never one that stepped outside of the fundraising campaign, either digitally or by letter.
Right.
But when I start seeing other things people do, and they're, you know, I started in like June, you know, just a few months in advance, and now it's like all year long.
Yeah,
people are doing, what can I do to raise money for my family team? So
yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome
to see how it's all changed and how creative people have gotten. So
we have garage sales, cookouts, the pay and come. I mean, it's
lemonade stands.
Oh,
I mean, you just see all
selling
the
their
great
t-shirts.
Yeah,
they, a lot of families do that. And the other incentive is we've now asked that if you get a sponsor for the festival, mm-hmm. that can count towards your team fundraising goal. And we have increased our sponsorships, and we're so thankful for those partnerships that we've had. You know, Rachel and I were looking back the other day, and we've had some sponsors that have been with us from the very beginning still.
That's amazing.
So those are true people who truly, truly believe in our mission. But now that we've kind of, when I started here in 2018, I realized, like, the ballpark was going to be a little chaotic for us. The main reason for moving it was the streetcars. Mm. And the reason because of that is we were going to have to close off 8 streetcars to do the race.
And we would have kept it at the ballpark?
Yes. And the city was like, we can't do that. Because the streetcars, they keep continually. Mm-hmm. They don't like to stop them. So then it was like, well, let's try the Myriad. And I thought, well, you know, we'll try it and see if it works. And I've had so many people say how much they love it. And I cross my fingers every year that there's no rain, which we've been so lucky.
It's just God looking down on us going, here's yeah. your day. Here's the most
it's been
perfect
so
weather.
Beautiful.
Well, 22 years, like I said, one time, 28 degrees. It was yeah. freezing cold.
And one year it rained.
One time it rained, but it wasn't like
just a
downpour.
No.
It was just rain.
And we still walked.
And we still walked.
I mean,
fantastic.
You and I talked that morning, like, are we going to do that? We're like, yes. Like,
so you
our walk kids
in walk
rain. In the rain. It's fine.
And it ended up being a really, really nice day.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
been crazy to get such yeah. great weather. Yeah.
But that was the main reason for moving it to the Myriad. Okay. And the fact that we just couldn't serve more booths and all the volunteers and all the families under that ballpark.
It is the perfect venue.
And
I know maybe there's some talk about going the Scissor Tail or, you know, I mean, I know things,
yeah,
you know,
I
as the city's
we're
growing.
We're always going to keep our options open yeah. for sure and get the best bang for our buck. But it is, the parking's great. We get those donated parking spaces to us so people don't have to pay to park. We had to get the 5K re-sanctioned, but it's one of the best courses. Mark Bravo will tell you that because he's ran it and he has his runners come, but it's a really nice, you know, course to run. Plus it takes you through, you know, part of that old part of Oklahoma City mm-hmm. downtown. So everybody kind of loves that. And then we just are able to see, I've had parents say, I can see people.
Yeah.
Like I can look across the yard or the area and see another family and go, oh, well, there's so-and-so, and, you know, race over there. So I guess it is a better atmosphere for everybody to kind of gather.
With the band shell. I mean,
oh,
it's
yeah.
just...
We have our own little concert.
It's perfect. And it's beautiful,
uh-huh.
you know, and to see hundreds of families, thousands of people all gather mm-hmm. in that beautiful our city and
yeah.
celebrate our kids
the
and families.
And
it's just the best day ever.
Yeah, and we get a lot of support from the Oklahoma City Police Department mm-hmm. and the fire and ambulance services. You know, we have to coordinate those. And I will say just some behind-the-scenes logistics. We have to start putting our permit together in April.
I always remember that, even for me. Like,
yeah.
That was not my area of expertise was permits and, like, it's
yeah.
crazy how all of that.
Oh, yeah, it's a booklet.
How much work all that is. I remember having to go to the city council.
Yes,
and to
still
go
have to
these
to do that.
Meetings. Okay, yeah, and going,
yeah.
wow.
I have
okay.
to go and present at city council
yes.
our event.
And get
so
it at the approval. Yeah.
And they have to vote on it.
Yeah.
So there's a whole packet that we have to submit that has everything from our noise permit, you know, to the 5K routes. And it's detailed. And of course, now the health department's involved because we have food trucks
yes.
now.
Yes.
So it can get a little evolved. And we have a committee now that's about 12 members. Our raffle prizes, that's what we've added those, kind
yes.
of have grown since then. And, I'll tell you, the beef has been the number one seller the last few years. So we will try to continue that as long as we can. But for any of you out there listening, if you have any, connections and want to get us some raffle prizes, we're still taking
we'll
those.
Take them.
Yeah. But we try to do like a mom's, a self-care, a kids package. I think this year we've got some cool headphones and an iPad and then some date nights.
Another way for families, even if you're not
yeah.
going to do maybe a family team and, you know, that kind of fundraising. Just sell the raffle tickets.
Sell the raffle tickets.
Everybody can sell raffle tickets.
I think they're like $5. I'm bummed because we used to do the Disney package, and Disney quit doing the package there. So, but the last few times we had it, we didn't sell a whole lot. I'm telling you, people like the beef and the staycations.
Local things. Yeah,
yeah, they want to stay local and do some fun things within our Oklahoma community. And I will say that. Our funds with the organization stay right here in Oklahoma. I do not, when we look for vendors and places that we're buying things, I like to shop local. Sometimes we are pressed to do things, over out of state just because that's the only vendor for this certain product. But for the most, we shop locally and try to keep our dollars right here in Oklahoma because we know how important it is for those small businesses. And any of those small businesses that want to come to the festival, like, come on, that'd be great. I want our families to know that you're a service to us or that you're welcoming to our community. And I think that's really what's most important. But, a few years ago, we added the 1 mile fun run. So, and actually, you know how that started is I had a few self-advocates that said, I want to run, but I can't run the 5K,
and 3 miles. Yeah.
And I was like, well, let's just do a 1 mile, So there's quite a few of them that run that or walk it, whatever. And then we also have grandparents that come out and walk the 1 mile. And we just started, right all at the same time. And here we go. And but it's just nice that we can evolve and change and move from one thing to the other. And Mark Bravo is still going to be calling our race this That's next awesome. Year. He's pretty awesome. Did some radio spots for us last week. So those are going to be airing on... I think 104.1 and Jake FM. So that's through Tyler Media. Coach Switzer is also going to give us a few shout outs there. We got to be on 107.7, the franchise, to talk about the festival last week. So
my favorite thing is when those billboards start popping up.
Oh, we've got some good ones this year too.
It's, like it's time.
And just know any pictures we take. I mean, I don't necessarily pick the pictures for the billboards. We let Lamar Company do that. But we've got some really cute ones. And we've expanded those into the Stillwater area.
Oh, fantastic.
So, all those people in that part of the state. And we want, just a fun time for everybody to come.
I know. We talk about Oklahoma City and everything based here and how amazing it is. And then you have to remember that we serve the state.
We reserve hotel nights.
Yeah.
We have hotel rooms blocked for people that want to just call a night and stay the night. And I know I used to do that whenever we were at the ballpark.
Get up so early.
But it's just kind of some people just make a whole weekend trip of it, which I think is fascinating. But yeah, it's one of those things that if you haven't been, definitely should come. But anything else you want to add from the behind the scenes is the...
Well, I mean, just
the OG of the festival,
really behind the scenes. But last year Drew was on the Times Square billboard in New York City. So we took our family to New York to see her, and it's the Buddy Walk for New York City, which is supposed to be the biggest, huge event. And my expectations were so high.
Yeah,
I mean, our daughter's in Times Square. This is going to be amazing, and it was. It was the coolest experience. But the walk itself, my husband looked at me and he's like, "Wow,
it has evolved." And I think now we have more than 4,000 people that come. We have almost 700 runners that participate. That's the 5K and the 1 mile fun run. And then, just the logistics of all the volunteers that we have, and from, ordering the porta potties and the tables and chairs and getting everything sanctioned off. And it's a lot. I think I usually start my day about 4:30 in the morning. And we have to hire overnight security because there's no place to put our stuff. Mm-hmm. I get there at 4:30, and it's kind of my time to just look at the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. But really, to kind of have a moment to reflect on Kirsten, and I'm going to cry, and what it means to me. Mm-hmm. And every year, it just gets better. And I don't mean like the walk gets better, because it does. But I mean every year it just gets better with the people and the atmosphere and knowing in our small little corner of Oklahoma, we are making a huge difference. And the love. I don't know if you feel that.
What I feel is being there and, you know, looking across the lawn and seeing Margie Robinson. Looking across the lawn and seeing Mike Clem and Bill Lovell. And these people, I'm like, look at what we did. Look at where we started.
I know.
And what this has become. And it's like kind of just a look in your eye of just hope and knowing this is, you know, it's continuing. And it's, we started it and it was kind of a fine-tuned machine. And it's just, the wheels have kept spinning and it's just grown and it's just grown. And there's just a pride in that, knowing that we're going to continue to do this. I'm going to see you every year at the biggest family reunion.
Remember we said we're going to still be doing this when we're 80.
I know.
I mean, we're still going to be dragging our kids and coming here.
Because it just means so much to us and so much to our families. And if you haven't been a part of it, you don't have to raise money the first year. Just show up.
Just
be a part of it. Just come and push that baby in that stroller and know that, you know, we started this a long time ago. For you, you know, for family, it's 20 years for us, 22.
I remember you telling me at one of the first walks that I came to, you said, these are our people.
These are our people.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it's really about, is this is our community. These are the people that love us unconditionally. I mean, we have therapists and doctors that come and run because they know how important it is to be there and be present for the family as a whole unit and not just that one child.
I think now I see it more, you know, when it was in the beginning for fundraising and for advocacy and really letting, you know, our family and friends know that this is our world. Mm-hmm. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to raise Drew with us and accept her and all her friends and the rest of the community. It was an advocacy effort, and now I see it as a celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've raised her, and we're still raising her.
Right.
But now it's just a celebration and a reunion. And hopefully, you know, setting it up for all these new families to just continue it and be what we were years and years ago. But what you have done to keep it going and keep it growing is just so appreciative.
Yeah,
so grateful.
And really, as a family, those of you listening that are, you know, trying to figure out, how do I do this? Just get online. Go to dsfestivalin5k.com and just start your team. And you don't, like you said, you don't have to raise money. But and if you do, great. There we have some fun family team incentive prizes. But remember when we had the traveling trophy?
The family team. Oh, my. I've forgotten.
Yeah.
I've forgotten
the family
about
team.
That.
I don't even know where it's at.
Where is that?
I don't know. I don't know who has it. If you have it out there, let us know.
Bring it back.
Yeah. I'd like to put
That's
it in our...
funny. No.
I'd like to put, you know, put together like a little archive shadow box of things from the
festival.
And
I wish I could remember what team it was, but I remember after 6 or 7 years when a team raised more money than we did, and I thought,
yes. Somebody's there.
Go, do it. And that might be the person that has that trophy right now, and I can't remember who it was. But.
Maybe. It is, again, it's just so much fun, but it has evolved, like you said, from that, you know, awareness component to now just a celebratory, you know, event that we get to enjoy. I mean, even though I'm working, I still get to have moments where I'm enjoying it, and I make a point to walk with Kirsten. I might not make the whole route, but I at least make a point to walk with her because it's important to her.
Yeah.
Like, now that, I don't know if Drew recognizes
that.
Well,
it's been a change with Drew because as she's gotten older, you know, at one point, I think we one time had 100 people come in t-shirts.
Yeah,
we did a big, I had somebody make a white t-shirt that just said Drew's Crew, and we had a tie-dye party.
Uh-huh.
And it was my favorite.
I remember
Every three
that.
Years we've changed t-shirts.
Yeah.
But we had 100 people over in my backyard tie-dyeing shirts.
What an
and
awesome
then
experience.
It was just, we did that, and I think we had pizza, and we had a great time, and then, you know, everybody came to the walk wearing their t-shirts. And as she's grown, she's seen, you know, it's just changed.
Mm-hmm.
And now, not as many people come. You know, we don't have.
Right.
We still have all the support and all the love, and I know it's there. But we've just grown up to more, you know, now we're just there to support and appreciate what it's become. And, and you know, I'm not go get it like I used to be. I just find, you know, put myself in a different role, still helping with the committee.
Right.
But I've watched her, and it has saddened her because it's not, you know, the hundreds of people, and it's not what it used to be, but it's life. Mm-hmm. We grow, you know, and I'm just, you know, times are just different, Drew, and people still love you, and, you know, that part's been hard for her, but she still is like, when's the buddy walk? She still calls it the buddy walk.
Oh, yeah.
Every my family, I don't think they're ever going to change
family.
That. It's just, you know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
They can call it whatever they want.
That, I'm like, the festival is, you know, and she looks forward to it. We still look forward to it, and we'll be there every year from here on out. I guess we can't walk anymore.
Yeah. I'm going to be pushing you.
She might start pushing me in a wheelchair by then, but we'll
Kirsten
be there.
Kirsten can push me in a wheelchair.
We'll be there.
Or I'll be there in my walker. I don't care. I'm still going to push through, and I'll be there as long as she wants me to be there. And we'll be wearing our Kirsten's Kisses shirts with our big red lips.
Go Drew Screw. We'll be there.
Yeah. And I think that's what's so great. Well, I just appreciate you being on today and sharing
your
insights.
That's so fun to go down memory lane.
I know. And we do have a Buddy Walk Festival memory book. So it'll be at the festival this year. You can come by the Dasco booth and check it out. There's lots of news clippings and photos. So you might see your kid in there. But yeah, just kind of nice to see we evolved from 1994 to 2005.
Wow.
31
awesome.
Years we've been doing this. Every time I fill out our packet with the city, they're like, 31 years? I think we're one of
the largest and longest
events that's happened. And we even kept it going during COVID because we had a parade. We did the car parade. So we even, you know, kept it in for that. But for those of you that are interested in signing up for a team or to run in the festival in 5K, or just to be a part of it as a vendor, however you wish, you can go to dsfestivalin5k.com and check out all the things there. Again, you can start your fundraising now. This is our largest fundraiser. We hope to raise over $200,000 this year. It's just grown each year with our fundraising.
I do remember one of my first thank you letters. It was, we raised $45,000 this year. Way to go. And here we are.
$200,000. I'd like to get that up to more than that. So the more we raise, the more we can do is all I can say. And so that just helps all of us and all the 1,100 families that we serve. But we do try to keep every single penny here in Oklahoma. But a huge thanks for you sharing all the details about today. And whether you're running, walking, volunteering, just show up. That's all we ask. We truly hope to see you there. And all of our volunteer slots are also posted, so you can come and volunteer with us if you would like to see that behind the scenes. But don't forget to spread the word. Bring your energy. It's going to be an unforgettable day as we celebrate 31 years of our community.
Awesome.
And Kathy, if you're listening, we might save you a race bib. So
maybe.
But yeah. But only if you promise to show up and cheer the loudest. We also need, you know, volunteers to have those signs for our racers and keep them going. But thanks for tuning in. And as always, stay kind, stay connected, and we'll catch you next time. Bye.